Good morning, honorable members, the office of the minister and the office of the DG and also the presenter, and amongst ourselves we've got the language office, unit. Am I correct?
Yes.
And also there's our monitoring group there. You are welcome this morning. You are welcome this morning into this presentation that we are going to hear from the South African Cooperatives Association, South African Housing Cooperative Association. This morning I would like to welcome a new member, Honorable Member Doris Lagude, who have recently joined us. So, can you just say hi to the members? Honorable, you are welcome into this Challenges Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to all honorable members and the gentlemen from the office of the minister. So I'm glad to be part of this portfolio committee. I hope I learn a lot from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. First of all, I want to express that we are having a short period because some of the members are going to leave us very soon. Unfortunately, we have a challenge. This week, the Parliament has gone out for oversight. So most of our members, I think in this committee, we're missing six committee members. And on the other side, there are members that are also attending to other issues of national interest. You know, the by-elections are the issues of national interest. So some have been put apologies. And we also have Honorable Nisi, who is bereaved. And then on the side of the department, Mr. Dlamini is attending a cluster meeting here in Parliament. He's going to join us very soon, but he has got a representative, Mr. Kaba. So he's going to take notes for him, and then he's going to join us later. I don't know if if the secretary has got some of the apologies.
Mamu Pamukwanya is also not feeling well. She's not around today.
Can we adopt the apologies? And Honorable Bula is going to join us. He was here earlier, and he has gone to another meeting, but he's going to come back very soon. So can we adopt the apologies, please? Bonwe?
Thanks, Chairperson. I move that we adopt the apologies.
Mamunjole? Are you seconding? Okay, thanks. Can we get a briefing, a presentation from the Mr. Zakaria? Your surname is too short. Okay, you will introduce yourself to the committee. The floor is yours. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I'd like to greet all the committee members and thank for the time that they've taken to hear the presentation that's going to be tabled this morning. And the name is Zakaria Matsila. I'm the national chairperson of the South African Housing Cooperatives. And then as we were going to walk through the presentation, then you'll be able to understand probably the definition of a housing cooperative and the organization being SACA, to say how is it structured, and the mandate of SACA, and who are the members of SACA for that matter. Unfortunately, I have to apologize for two things. First of all, for arriving late at this particular briefing, I really have to give my sincere apologies to the Portfolio Committee and the Chairperson in particular. And also, that the presentation, the fancy one, unlike the one that is on the paper, that was prepared, unfortunately, it happened that I took the wrong laptop because I was in a hurry in the morning. Then I ended up taking the wrong laptop with all the fancy presentation. But nonetheless, I hope the points that will be covered on the presentation, that is in hardcore documentation, will be able to assist in this regard. SACA being an organization was formed in May 2004, and it was formed mainly by primary cooperatives in the country. The reason being behind that was that cooperatives being at the primary level and seeing that there's no legislation governing cooperatives, but the number was growing, and that means collectively there are some of the issues that needed cooperative engagement. As a result, there was a need for a proper structure at a national level that will look at those particular issues. And then as we go on, we're going to look at the objectives of this particular organization. But first of all, let us look at the definition of a housing cooperative, given that the chairperson has already indicated that we'll have to move quickly with the presentation, seeing that some of the members might leave us during the process. A definition of a housing cooperative, as it says, is that it is an association of people, meaning a group or a community that normally comes together and said, we have a particular need. Our need here is to house ourselves. And that means there's a particular interest from the community to say, seeing that we are homeless and we are working and the amount of money that we are getting is not that much, but if we come and work together, we can raise a certain amount of money that can be a founding or a foundation towards housing ourselves. So cooperatives mean it's about community coming together or group of people coming together and say, we want to set up a legal entity that will facilitate housing or building houses for ourselves. It's mainly not for a profit basis. As a result, it is mainly engaged around the spirit of Ubuntu, whereby also in terms of cooperative alliance principles, it has to use that. And the question was that then why housing cooperatives are so important in the country right now? Remember, or quoting some of the words of the Minister of Human Settlement, where he indicated that there's going to be mass participation of the communities or the members coming together contributing towards the houses. We know that the ruling party's mandate it has been to give houses to the members. But looking at the challenges that we had some time ago of some of the houses that had to be demolished, then there was a need. And looking also at the complaints that come from some of the beneficiaries of those houses, then there was a need to say, now let us look at a way of bringing communities together who are going to contribute something towards housing themselves. By so doing that, that will also eliminate some of the complaints that will arise from the members, and also see that members contribute something, then that also contributes to bigger houses, much more decent houses for people to live in. And cooperatives exist in all particular instances, in the rural areas, in the urban areas, and in different forms. Mainly we know that we have two main types of cooperatives, being developmental cooperatives, or in another way, what you call continuous cooperatives. But then, like we've already indicated, we're going to go quickly in terms of what are those in terms of definitions. But first of all, the current trends or that we've established of cooperatives that provides housing. Basically, we have cooperatives in greenfields whereby a barren land, contribution from the members, assistance from government, so cooperatives in townhouse types of forms or in PHP coming up on board whereby new buildings and new units were erected. Then also we saw the housing or the conversion of previously hostels to become family units. Practically here in Cape Town, whereby we have cooperatives of that particular nature, whereby members came together and said, these are hostels, they used to be single-sex hostels, but now, because we want to convert to become decent family units, cooperatively, they engaged the municipality or the Metro of Western Cape, whereby then we start seeing most of those single-sex hostels being redeveloped to house families. So we do have such types of cooperatives. We also have cooperatives in renovated buildings in the inner cities, dilapidated buildings, whereby members who are facing either evictions or anything like that, or the owners deserted the unit because of the being in default. Members say that rather than to be evicted and the property being taken to someone else who's going to rent it back to us, probably at a higher fees or at higher rates, we as the members, we want to collectively own this particular block of flats, renovate it with our monies, and with a certain extent, the assistance from the municipalities to ensure that at the end of the day, they live in a decent building. And also in a PHP form, whereby members, in terms of a cooperative, they set up a cooperative that becomes a service provider to themselves as the members and engage municipality also to develop EPHP types of housing. So that on its own, it begins to show that cooperatives or housing cooperatives can play a particular role in this particular instance to assist members to house themselves. Cooperatives is not something that is new. Cooperatives in terms of Rocktail, it started somewhere in the 1800s. And then it began to transform from consumer cooperatives, worker cooperatives, and now we've got housing cooperatives. And if you see in your presentation, some of the case studies that we have of cooperative housing that exists around the world, whereby there's Norway, Sweden, Canada, United Kingdom, all over the world, there are housing cooperatives where members came together and provide housing for themselves. The concept came about seeing that using a common goal and using a common bond, whereby, for an example, you get an individual who wants in housing. If, as an individual, you are faced with the problems of capital, you need to raise capital, you need to raise a deposit, to go to the bank, try to get a bond, and make sure that if you want to renovate your house, you want to improve your house, everything is dependent upon yourself as an individual. And in most cases, for those who are in the low-income bracket, it becomes increasingly difficult just to acquire the loan or the bond to get property. At the moment, in terms of the survey, is that if you earn between or less than 15,000, it becomes very difficult as an individual to get a house. And you know that majority of Africans do not actually earn that amount of money. So realistically, it becomes increasingly difficult for our members or for the members of the community to get houses. So members who came as a cooperative came together and formed this particular legal entity. By working together, they can negotiate together for the land, for the building material, combining their subsidies, to make sure that they can achieve whatever that one couldn't achieve as an individual. And through innovation together, they also learn from each other because they bring different types of skills, building skills, plumbing skills, construction skills, and the like, electricity skills. And by so doing, then the members collectively, they can begin to see that their housing units are being developed. The advantage that we have seen through cooperatives is that there's issues of economic of scale whereby collectively members they've got what is called an economic power towards combining their contributions towards such cooperatives, and also the division of labor. As I've indicated, that they've got someone else responsible for the foundation, for the construction, for the roofing, plumbing, and the like. And also the representation. Members themselves elect the board of directors who become the members who are the negotiating team or the committee that will be responsible to ensure that issues of land, subsidy, and things like that are negotiated and at a cheaper prices, to a certain extent, the building material can be acquired. There's issue of bargaining power and security of tenure, which is very crucial. And member economic participation, very, very crucial, because then if you engage the entire members, those who are beneficiaries from the inception, you will never get problems of members complaining after the unit has been erected to say, but hang on a second, I'm not happy that my house is facing west instead of facing east. Members from the inception of the project until the project has been completed, they are part and parcel of that project. As a result, then it becomes easier for the members to be a very happy community. And the membership value and joint innovation is very, very important because it brings stability among that particular cooperative. So those are some of the advantages or comparative advantages of cooperatives that we've seen. And we normally give cooperatives a particular role that we believe that how the cooperatives play in this regard. There's a security of tenure that creates, that goes hand in hand with the opportunity, and also empowerment, because there are issues of skills that are being acquired for new members who had absolutely no knowledge about housing construction. Through the engagement, through each one basis or principles, members begin to acquire skills during the process, and those skills will be utilized once the project has been completed. The skills can be acquired through in other projects, whereby some members can utilize the skills acquired to build houses for other members. So that on its own, it creates some sort of empowerment for the members who are the members of the cooperative. And this brings, again, because of collective ownership and bargaining power, cooperatives becomes affordable. And that's something that we've seen in many cases. Because of the member control and democratic management, whereby the members are engaged in terms of finances, there's accountability to the members of finances, how they're being utilized, and step by step of the project. And over and above that, when the project is up and running, there's continuous members' participation. Then because of member control, that on its own, it becomes very beneficial. For an example, as we're going to see the comparison of others, in a cooperative, let's say, for an example, it's a townhouse cooperative. The members just look at expenses, and that means payment of municipalities and maintenance and staff and management and the like. So because the members are the beneficiaries, they are the owners, they cannot, and they are not profit-driven, they cannot overcharge themselves to say, well, we are chasing so much profit as a result, we say unit should be 2,000 rand. For them, what is important is to have proper, maintained units where they live in, and as a result, they just charge themselves enough money to leave a little bit of surplus for the long-term maintenance. And that also assists members to self-determine their project from the inception and over and above when the project has been completed. And also there's the issue of profit sharing, whereby the members, if you're a member, your unit also becomes your share in a cooperative, because the members of a cooperative is a legal entity. We know in the corporate world is that if you've got a company and you've got a company of shareholders, each and every member becomes a share, well, according to what you've put in. But in a cooperative, the shares are all equal because members are all equal. So as a result, because of the principle of member economic participation, then the shares are all equal. Your unit becomes your share. And your share can be used in a cooperative. One of the great benefits of being a cooperative is that you can use your unit as collateral. You want to start a business, for an example. Because your unit has a particular value, you can use your unit as collateral if you want to start a business. You can also use your unit also as a collateral if you want to raise a loan for that particular matter, for school funding or for school fees and any other things that probably will meet a member on an individual basis. So your unit, if you stay in the inner city, for an example, you stay in one unit, you can use your unit based on the shares that you have to use those collateral to buy a car, start business, and things like that. And that on its own, again, cooperatives are one of the biggest contributors in terms of community concern. We are the members of a cooperative. Whenever a member is ill, there's an issue of saying that what is it that as cooperative members can do to assist such members. Practical example where we tell sometimes there's a huge difference between cooperatives and other tenants is that, let's say for an example, a breadwinner loses a job. He has to pay rent at the end of the day. And then what do we do? As a cooperative, you don't just wake up tomorrow morning and say, well, we cannot collect, then we check you out. As a cooperative, because of the spirit, remember that dimension of Ubuntu, we say then let us look what is it that as cooperative members we can assist this particular breadwinner to continue life while he's still looking for employment somewhere else. For an example, if there's a cleaning company, we ask that particular cleaning company to take one of our members, employ their members, so that at the end of this particular generation of money to contribute other things while we're still in this particular period of time whereby we are trying to accommodate that particular member. Alternatively, you can also employ the particular member to say, well, we use what you call a sweat equity. Rather than for us to say, we are going to give you money, you cleaned the cooperative for that particular period, and that contribution of cleaning the cooperative on its own is your, what you call a sweat equity. You're contributing towards the cooperative, because otherwise we could have employed someone else to do that, but rather we employ our own members. So in terms of principles of cooperative, which we're going to read earlier on, as we move on, you're going to see where this particular principle meaning. So there's a huge social services that are given in terms of cooperative. In-housing cooperative, you also get other minor types of cooperative that provide employment to their members. For an example, the daycare units, whereby cooperative members, rather than to take their children to individual daycare centers, collectively you always find a daycare established within a cooperative. So then that means rather than to take your money outside as a member of a cooperative, everything has to circulate within the cooperative members. And that on its own, it contributes to the community development. Before a cooperative can be established, there are particular requirements that always have to be taken into consideration. First of all, there should be a buy-in in terms of security of tenure. To say members say we want to become a cooperative, then we can explain what is a cooperative and how it works. There's also the issue of a capital. Remember, I said that in a cooperative, we need particular people who are employed and who are earning a certain amount of money. Probably in most of our cooperatives, anyone earns 7,000 rand and downward normally comes members of a cooperative, because looking at the amount of money, we need to ensure that the poor, who are mainly our cooperative members, are the ones that are benefiting out of this. So there's also the issue of organization. Now we begin to set the organization. How will this inter-organization organizing the community to make sure that whatever that they need is going to be benefited in terms of step by step of what needs to be done? There's also the issue of management. Yes, as a cooperative, there's an issue of training of the members and also establishing of management in terms of collection and payment of municipality fees and other fees of service providers that we give service to the cooperative. And that also required a particular technology to drive that. Now, there's a particular chart here where I try to make comparison of what is it that exists in the country right now in terms of comparing it to cooperative housing. That one is when it begins to open up the minds of those who do not understand how a cooperative works. Because in most cases, some will always say relate us to a rental market. Others relate us to a sectional title because they don't understand the difference between that. So in terms of ownership, I've just made a quick comparison to say any cooperative members are the owners. And as a result, they also participate towards the development of the project. And after the project, they still contribute as cooperative members. Unlike in a rental, whereby you know that the owner or the landlord who owns the property and makes all the rules. And in a sectional title, again, you find that it's owned by individuals, but as a sectional title, you have to go as an individual to the bank to buy a particular unit. Whereas in a cooperative, the entire building is owned by the members who are from their cooperative. As a result, this contributes to extend that the monthly cost of running cooperatives are very minimal because of that spirit of ownership. Anything that belongs to the members ensure that it is well protected because that is their asset. As I've indicated that you can use that as a collateral, then it means that it becomes an asset. Your shares become an asset. And that the cooperative owns the mortgage on behalf of all the members. Unlike as an individual, whereby you go to the bank and say, I want a bond to buy this particular property, or in a section of title, you say, I want this particular bond to buy this particular unit. In a cooperative, as I already indicated, there's an issue of community control. The community control through the elected board of directors who become the managers as prescribed in the Cooperative Act of 2005. Board of directors are solely responsible for the management of a cooperative. So unlike in the rental market, we know that the landlord is the one that controls everything. Some of the advantages, without going too much into this, some of the advantages of a cooperative which are very, very important is that you have been staying in a cooperative, you're a shareholder, you've been there for 20 years in the inner city, and then you are retiring, you want to go back to the homelands, you know, because some people, they're there in the inner city to work, and then at the retirement phase, they go back to the homelands. In a cooperative, upon retiring, and you have indicated to the board of directors that you want to leave a cooperative, then the cooperative should give you what is called an exit payment. Exit payment says that you have added so much value to the cooperative, which is valued this much for this particular time or this particular period. As a result, through exit payment, then you get something out. For an example, if you move to a cooperative that was worth 10 million rand, you stay there for 20 million rand, the property is now worth 100 million rand, which means your contribution in that particular instance has ensured that the property value has increased. So you're going to get something out. If it means the unit today you moved was worth 65,000, the chance that probably you can move out with the 250,000. So that one, it clearly explains when you say that the unit that you live in becomes an asset in the long run. Unlike in the rental market whereby you stay there for 20 years, you move out, you get nothing. You just move with whatever that you had in your property. So that's one of the biggest contributions and one of the reasons why at the moment we are so much pushing for what is called student cooperative. Because what you realize is that most of these particular students, they go into the universities, they stay in a residential place, they are renting. After 3 years when they've graduated, they live there and live with nothing else. And after that, they still have to look for employment. Some of them have already been taking loans to ensure that after they've graduated, they need to pay those particular loans. And over and above that, they still become the burden to their guardians in terms of money to look for employment, money to look around, to move around, creating CVs and things like that, attending interviews. Whereas in a student cooperative is that once a student has graduated, has been staying in a cooperative for 3 or 4 years, upon graduation when you leave a cooperative, then you're going to get your exit payment, and that particular exit payment can be used for this particular instance of moving around, looking for employment. You still have a little bit of money to do the interviews and do all those, or also to move, to extend and maybe to continue some further studies. So as a student, you don't just become a member or contribute something there, at the end of the day you lose nothing, but upon leaving that, you're going to get something out. Of this, we believe as SACA that this will begin to assist the members who are the student. So we are busy with to establish a project on student cooperatives. The sooner we can do it in the country around, the better. Then just outline quickly the process of establishing a new housing cooperative to say that there should be the issue of information that is being distributed, the members, those who understand the concept and want to become members of a cooperative, they voluntarily join. If you check the definition of a cooperative, it talks about voluntarily joining the cooperative, seeing that there are benefits of a cooperative. And also, over and above that, we need to workshop this particular members to say, you don't just join, but you need to understand what are the roles of an individual in a cooperative. And also, to also indicate, as we are busy right now, government officials, special on housing cooperative and cooperatives in general, because this is something that is still, there's little or no understanding at all in terms of what is this animal called cooperative or housing cooperative. There's an issue of the constitution whereby they say, as members, you know, in the Stockfell area, where they say, as a members, these are the rules and regulations that we are going to govern our cooperative in line with the Cooperative Act that is already there. And then after that, then the cooperative will be registered and it will be established. And then the process now of acquiring land, capital from the members, and also subsidy from the municipalities to ensure that the particular cooperatives are in existence. Looking for the particular building that needs renovations, this is in the inner cities, in the rural areas, we negotiate with the chiefs to get the land so that our members in that particular land, they can facilitate the process of building a housing cooperatives or units for that particular matter. Now, SACA is an ethics body, as I already indicated. It is our duty to ensure that we begin to educate members of the public and also our primary members about cooperatives and services that cooperatives can bring to the members. So we are mainly established with the objective of uniting, representing, and serving our members countrywide to ensure that this issue of cooperatives, it benefits them, and also we educate those that do not understand how the cooperatives work. The objectives clearly that have been given to SACA by the members is that there's very important issue of educating the members of the public about cooperatives. As I've already indicated, that this is another subject that is very least understood by the members and those especially in the housing sector. And also promotion of housing cooperatives in all spheres of government. That is very, very crucial. And also train the members of the housing cooperatives and those that are interested to know about cooperatives and register them with the rest of cooperatives, which is located within CIPRO. Remember, cooperatives, as I said, there needs to be legal entity so that they can be sued and sue as well. Unlike housing associations or any other associations that are not legislated, cooperative needs to be legislated so that it can be taken seriously. Also to lobby government to ensure that there is a particular policy that is there for cooperative housing in the country. As we have seen in different countries that I've mentioned earlier on, to say there are countries that have seen the benefits of cooperative housing. Countries like Norway, Sweden, whereby at the moment there's more demand for housing cooperative than any other tenor for that matter, looking at the benefits that has benefited the members and those that stand to become the members. So it's very important that we need to look at the issue of the policy for housing cooperatives and also a continual training of our members, the board of directors, in terms of governance. Because once we talk about legal entity, then there's the issue of governance that needs to be taken into consideration. How to control the finances, how to manage, how to maintain the property, how to deal with issues of conflict within the members, dispute resolutions and things like that. That is very crucial. So at the end of the day, there is a smooth running of a cooperative within our members. And also to look at the possibility, as I've already mentioned, to develop pilot projects in the country whereby these particular practices of cooperatives will begin there and then expand as we move on. Also to mobilize resources for our members. As much as members are also going to contribute in cooperatives to make sure that their cooperatives are up and running, there's also the issues of resources, like I mentioned, the land, subsidies, and all other issues that related to building properties or a renovation of properties in inner cities and in the rural areas, and also to forge partnership between provincial municipalities so that in the IDPs, then we begin to see the development of housing cooperatives as another alternative tenor to of housing delivery in the country. And also to lobby government on issues that relate to housing cooperatives, as I do right now. And also to create networks of sharing experiences with other cooperative fellow members in other provinces. Western Cape exchanging information with Gauteng, Limpopo exchanging information with North West, like that. Right now, if you look at the charts there, this is the current statistics of our members across the country. As you say that Gauteng, we've got about 23 housing cooperatives, Northwest 11, Western Cape 3, KZN 10, and Eastern Cape 11. So that's where our current status of our members. And then in terms of the demand for housing cooperatives, we are being overwhelmed. And something I can mention is that for the first time that we also, previously, if you look at the stats, most of these cooperatives were mainly black-owned. But now we begin to receive interest from other types of races. Particularly, there's two whites who just approached us to say, how do they get assistance in terms of owning or starting a cooperative? Because they realize that a collective workmanship or working together to build their own houses, it becomes even cheaper than an individual. And looking at the issues of the recession, whereby that one is in the biting that it had on the communities, is so immense that to say people have to look at other ways of housing themselves rather than to look at the only one way of approaching banks for bonds, which becomes increasingly difficult to acquire at the moment. And you look at the democracy and employment that the cooperatives create. The employment, if you look at that particular stats, this, in terms of breakdown, is employment that is created for housing construction, for renovations, for maintenance, for security, for cleaning, for maintenance, for management. So these are the permanent jobs that are created by cooperatives. It's not just about building and residing there. If you've got a flat or a high-rise building, there's an issue of cleaning, there's an issue of maintenance, plumbing, electricity, and things like that. So we need permanent people who are our members as well, as I said, that are going to do this particular job. So in most cases, we also create employment for our members in the long run. So those are some of the stuff that we can pride ourselves as cooperatives. And again, I've just mentioned some of the projects that we are busy pushing with some of the metros, which is the Tshwane, to assist other communities, particularly I remember the Indian community that needs to own some of the properties that previously used to belong to the city of Tshwane, to own them as a cooperative. There's also the issue of training some of our members, as I said, in construction plumbing so that they can undertake more and more of maintenance of our buildings and also the construction of new projects that will be coming. And also working with, as I mentioned, the youth to begin the issue of establishing student cooperatives in housing. So that at the end of the day, the members, as I said, that or those particular students, through exit payment, they just don't become ordinary students who sit in a particular residential building, pay rent, leave, and with nothing else. But if they get something out, then they can utilize that to further their studies or probably look for employment upon their graduation. And the demand for housing cooperative is increasing. That's one. That's something that I have to mention over and over and over again. And as a result, we as SACA now, we need to explore other ways to say, well, if the demand comes from the rural areas, once we have done the feasibility study, what is that needs to be done to make sure that the cooperative on the ground will be supported and we begin to realize the project coming up. There's an issue of the Cooperative Act whereby previously the Act was just about agriculture, but now the Cooperative Act that regulates the cooperative, now there's the issue of housing cooperatives. We're also part of that particular drafting team of the Cooperative Act, as much as we're also the drafting team of Social Housing Act. And also the facilitation of certain projects that were developed. Now, at the moment, we have just collectively with the National Department of Human Settlement have drafted a housing cooperative strategy, of which we as SACA, we need to see to it that particular strategy is incorporated to the main strategy with the cooperative strategy that is in the country right now, and it's about actually it has been finalized at NETLAC. Now, there are certain challenges that we are facing as a cooperative movement. Is that at the moment, what is very, very important is that there is no dedicated policy that has to do with housing cooperatives. So as much as there is this particular legislation that talks about, you look at the housing code, there's a mention of housing cooperatives. But there is still lack of understanding from government officials in terms of to say, yes, there's a housing cooperative, but how does this particular animal work? So the issue of cross-legislation that is not much more favorable to the housing cooperative environment is something that we still find as a challenge and we need to explore. And then, at the moment, as I already indicated, cooperatives are self-regulatory. As much as there's just one tract that talks about housing cooperatives in the Housing Cooperative Act, we as cooperative, we still find ourselves being self-regulatory. So we need to begin to bring municipalities and provincial departments of human settlements to look at the ways of working together to make sure that now there's proper regulation of housing cooperative. Because in terms of where there's the conflict of interest or there's conflict between the department and some of the members of the cooperative, it degenerates to an issue whereby and it goes as far as high courts or where there's an argument or in courts, which is something that we try to avoid at all costs and find a suitable way or amicable way of resolving those particular disputes. Previous promoters of housing cooperatives, the way they manage cooperatives, create a very bad publicity. Typical example of organizations like the Coop Housing Association that was tasked to develop housing cooperatives in the inner city. Due to their mismanagement of funds, and that led to the eventual closure of the company, that on its own it becomes a stigma as if cooperatives are the ones that contributed to the closure of the property management company. Not realize that a company of that particular nature, on its own, they have their own responsibility of running their own affairs properly in terms of financial management. So those are some of the publicity that we begin to advocate for those who've got concerns around the sustainability and the publicity of cooperative to begin to clear up the air to say, this is where we draw the line. The cooperative employ a property management company, and the property management company also have their own responsibility for their own management. And if the property management company cannot manage their affairs, that it means the publicity rests with them, not with cooperatives. Typical example is that after the closure of Coop, there were other managers and management companies that came on board, which are very financially sustainable because they could control their finances well. So that was something that also is a challenge, because once we talk about housing cooperatives, some members keep on bringing this over and over and over again. And then the lack of cooperative understanding by government officials is a serious, serious challenge. That on its own, it makes it very difficult for the annual budgets of municipalities to incorporate development of housing cooperatives. Even though communities indicate that they want to see more and more of type of tenure where there's community involvement, community control, but the lack of understanding by government officials involved with the human settlement to understand the particular animal, it makes it very difficult for us. Certain that every time we need to go out and educate officials about the housing cooperative and the role that cooperatives can play in the country. And also the issue of resources. Since there is not that much of a relationship between the department, the National Department of Human Settlements, that on its own, it means that support for housing cooperative or housing cooperative development is still something that is left to us as an organization. Whereas if there were particular budgets that are being allocated for housing cooperative projects, so that when you bring to the NGO and say, we've got this particular project, here are the beneficiaries, everything that we have in our database, then we can begin to see that the NGO is committing themselves in terms of budgets to ensure that those particular projects are being developed together with SACA. So those are some of the things that we are facing as challenges in terms of cooperative development. And also, housing cooperatives, and in this instance, faces a huge challenge in terms of competition, especially in the inner cities, whereby we are competing with the practices of rental, the practices of sectional title. So because of that competitiveness, then there's an issue, or, like I said, the issue of bad publicity, say, but these cooperative things do not work. As a result, there's no need to support them. Support us as a rental market in social housing. So cooperatives also being part of social housing institutions and competing for resources, that makes it very difficult, because other cooperatives, to a certain extent, they get some sort of support from the NGOH. So we still try to fight to establish ourselves so that at the end of the day, we also get a very close working relationship with the NGOH. So that competition on its own is not something that probably we can say, well, we are scared, because looking at the demand for members who want to become housing cooperative members, that on its own, it tells that we are doing a very good job. What is important is just to complete whatever that we have studied. And then, let's mention the issue of lack of understanding from other government officials. This makes it very difficult for financiers, DFIs or ordinary commercial financiers, because others, they don't believe that a community-controlled entity can be something that can be trustworthy. They still believe that there will be conflict, probably looking at the experience that were experienced previously by housing associations, which were not legislated organizations. Because in housing association, I can make an agreement. Let's say, for example, somebody, a particular building owes municipality. I become a chairperson and make arrangement with the municipality, only to be removed after 2 weeks. Then there's continuity of non-payment, and then next week there's another new chairperson. Say, now, that one has been removed, now I'm the new chairperson. As a result, that in housing association, because of lack of legislation, it makes it very difficult to be a reliable organization to deal with. But in cooperatives, it's something that we have to begin to educate the DFIs to say, hey, wait a second, this cooperative work, there is commitment, there is a resolution. Even if the chairperson can wake up late tomorrow, because of the continuity, there's legislation, the deal that we have done is a deal for the members, that it has been endorsed by the members of the cooperative, and they understand their responsibilities in terms of owning up or payment. So that on its own is something that we're busy engaging our commercial market and also our DFIs to understand the issue of interference. And that on its own, because of that, especially with the issue of DFIs, we at the moment we find our members who are members of a housing cooperative in serious legal battles with the National Housing Finance Corporation, whereby they, NHFC, at the end of the day, they claim that, well, we made agreement with a particular third party being co-op to develop you guys, we gave you our money, we need to be paid back. The problem that they had is that at the end of the day, the third party is dead, it's in liquidation, and there's no documentation to prove. So it's something that we are trying to smooth the process so that at the end of the day, there is that particular owning up, if there is that particular transaction took place, then cooperatives need to pay back whatever that has been acquired. But lack of understanding and lack of participation and unwillingness from the NHS side to engage us, SACA, in this particular matter, it degenerates to a situation whereby now there's legal battles and something that we're trying to avoid at all costs. So it's something that we are really pushing very hard to also engage the portfolio committee to assist in this particular regard. And again, what is important is that most of these particular cooperatives that are in legal battle, there's a hard push to convert them to something else rather than cooperatives. So that on its own is something that as SACA we're trying to by all means to avoid. So without getting much on that, then there's also the issue of recommendation because like the chairperson has indicated that we need to limit ourselves because of other members will be excused. In short, these are some of the recommendations that we really like to be seen probably from coming from the Housing Portfolio Committee as a request is that first of all, as SACA, probably we need to document these particular challenges and then probably recommend that a subcommittee be established to look into this particular investigate this particular issue that we'll raise in documented form so that out of that then probably then both parties can sit down and look at the ways of assisting these particular cooperatives who are facing extinction to be assisted to come back on board as viable cooperatives. Because that is like we believe that if cooperatives are allowed to operate according to cooperative principles, as it is proven around the world, such cooperatives can survive the storm and can become very sustainable. And also to engage the National Department of Human Settlement on the issue of the policy. The sooner we have a policy that has to deal directly with housing cooperative and housing cooperative development, the better. We know to a certain extent some time ago we did begin the particular process, but somehow it fizzles along the line and we don't know what could be the cause of that. Our wish is to immediately engage the National Department of Human Settlement to look at the issue of reviving that particular issue of policy, as we have already started. Because of that engagement, that's why we had to develop and we developed the housing cooperative strategy. And also to encourage the National Department of Human Settlement to include housing cooperatives in their programs, specifically for the financial year. Together they can engage SACA in this way to say then how do we go about it in terms of partnership? To say what project do we have as SACA in terms of cooperative development? So out of that then, and then there'll be issue of delivery, whereby communities are part and parcel of that. And that on its own, it will begin to show that the seriousness that NDOH in terms of housing delivery in the country. And also, regularly, SACA come back, brief the portfolio committee on the progress that we've achieved in this way, and also what is it that we have moving forward in terms of programs that we have as housing cooperative development in the country. So that's something that we also look into. And probably, in some instances, probably request the portfolio committee at that particular day when they engage with the committee to start visiting these housing cooperatives to see what is it that you're talking about. Rather than to sit here and glamorize whatever that we have on front, probably we don't have this thing on the ground. So that on its own, it will assist to interact with the members, the beneficiaries, and begin to develop themselves to say then what is so different between the housing cooperative, the rental market, sectional title, and how the members have reacted upon receiving the unit, and how the members feel in terms of being the participants and of the daily running of their cooperative. So that on its own is something that probably will request from the Housing Portfolio Committee to seriously look into. And in closure, as I've already started when I opened to say, we really, as SACA, like to thank the Housing Portfolio Committee for this opportunity to present our case and eye-opening in terms of the housing cooperatives, explaining what type of animal it is. I wish, if it comes to, because I'm very much passionate about this particular concept, I wish if it comes to a push, we wouldn't mind even to go the whole day now going into the nitty-gritties to understand how the cooperatives, from the ground, member participation, issue of policies, how will we engage one another in this moving forward. But because of the limited time already, as SACA, we'd really like to thank the portfolio committee of the time that you took to listen to us, and especially the gratitude to the chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Motsila. Let me write it in Xhosa so that I will be able to pronounce this Matsila. Yeah. Honorable members, that was a presentation. I think he has gone extensively to me. But before the members interact there with two gentlemen, we want to know whoever is within our midst. May you introduce yourselves. Okay. Both of you. Okay. We have to understand who are with us. I think the presentation, if the members that attended the portfolio committee 5-year strategy, they will recall that the promotion of cooperatives, housing cooperatives, was prominent. And the department was also asked a question on that planning session. What are they doing? How many cooperatives they have established? There was no answer. We are still waiting for that response. But let me give the members to interact. Thank you. Honorable Khatsibonwe, Mama, Honorable Bomen, thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'd like to know from you, Mr. Matsila, is there any criteria for an individual to join the cooperative? Must a person be working? And if so, what about those people with no income at all? And my second question is, how do you deal with the challenges of the scarcity of land? Because in order for one to erect a building, there must be land. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Jobe.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I think I am... I mean, if I ask questions that have been answered before in previous meetings, please pardon me.
You are welcome, Mama. Ask anything you would like to ask.
Actually, you have partly clarified the point I was going to raise, because I was going to ask, when I look at this presentation, I don't seem to get very clearly whether the department has any policy on cooperatives. But I think when you say in the strategy meeting this was looked into, and you are saying clearly that the department has no answer, my question would be then, well, what is their attitude towards cooperatives? Is there a hope that the government, for instance, does favor or will at some time consider including the question of cooperatives in its policies? Because I don't see how the government, for instance, is going to spend funds on a program for which it has no policy. It's got to go according to its own strategy and according to its own policies. So I wasn't able to get, during the presentation, what exactly the relationship between the cooperatives and the government is, and what the government's attitude towards them is. you are quoting some countries where housing cooperatives have been successful, in particular the countries in the Sweden, like, and Norway in particular. We know. They have been some successful. Now, another point on the programs, I noticed that although you call yourself a national body, in that slide, which deals with the programs, unfortunately, your document is not, the pages are not numbers, but it is somewhere under program. I don't see other provinces. We just seem to concentrate more on on Gauteng, and in particular, Tshwane, Johannesburg. I don't see the other provinces, and yet you are indicating that you are a national organization. What about your programs in other provinces? Yeah, because I was also then going to ask, you know, because I see that your strategy you are still talking about, it is still to be incorporated into the national cooperative strategy. But I think, as I say, the chairperson has kind of, you know, clarified my difficulty in that one. I think on the visits, I think if the committee has never done so before, it would be a good idea, you know, to see what we are talking about, so that you can be able to know what recommendations we need to make to the government, for example. Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I think that's all.
Oh, thank you, Mama. Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, thank you very much for your presentation, for being here today. I think it's a very good concept, and I think it could certainly help us tremendously. And I like the idea, you know, where people are actually involved themselves in doing something, and you appreciate what you've worked for much more than if it's just handed over to you. So I like that very much. However, I just have some things that I would like to clarify. And as you know, at the moment, the upgrading of our informal settlements is a priority for human settlements. And we've just got backlogs like you can't believe. It's just hundreds of thousands. And I want to say that I have had to do with something which sounds very similar to this, and that's called the Housing Federation. Now, I know they also have operated with national funds and that, but it's a whole similar thing, and they group together with members, and they, you know, they build and so on together. I don't know. It doesn't sound as if I'd like to know if perhaps they, you know them, and if they're part of this particular scheme. But if you were, for example, now, and the issue of land has been raised in an informal settlement where we are very pushed for land, because many of those people have got to be moved away, and others say, I'd like to hear from you, perhaps if you've had an experience already, how your co-op then works in a situation like that, where the development is given to, you know, a project manager within a municipality, and probably my experience, I'm referring more to the metros, the cities, okay, rather than the rural. And then the other thing also touched on was the employed or unemployed needing money. If you're talking about a 15,000 rand contribution into the co-op, as I might have heard you wrong, you know, people will need money, quite big money, if they're not earning and they're poor. So I'd also like some clarity on that. And then just on another level, I see you do have an office, and I've also been a little bit confused about whether you already exist and have got existing co-ops, or whether you are still busy forming that, and I welcome also the invitation to go on the ground if you have such co-ops, which you did say, then for us to go and have a look at that. And then just a final question to you. In this office arrangement, who runs your SACA? And what sort of remuneration do you do you pay into that top structure? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I think I have to express my observations, and that is going to a message to the department.
and the minister's office. When I'm listening to the presentation, it touches the PHP program. And it also, if you don't understand it clearly, it's easy to confuse it with the social housing. Why I'm saying that, I must be honest, we are robbed somewhere as the portfolio committee. Because we have been having the presentations from the department. And whenever the department comes to make presentations, they will relate to social housing, the render. And when we are listening to this presentation, Honorable Pulau, you are welcome. And if you have, even if you have not listened to the presentation, but I think you ran through this document, you will agree with me of what I'm raising. When we listen to the department, they relate to rental. There is no mention of the cooperative. And when we get this report, you find that we have got the existing. There is a market that is existing already. And if you listen to the presentation, the country has got an agreement, a memorandum of understanding. I'm subject for correction, Mr. Mazila, with the Scandinavian countries about the social housing and that group it was formed, not this political party. that group management, property management cooperation was formed because of that MOU, although they messed up. So that is why I'm saying somewhere we are robbed as the portfolio committee. We don't have a problem because the Social Housing Foundation was approved by cabinet in 1996. Or there was somewhere in that Buchadelo Accord. But I'm asking myself, where was this with these cooperatives? But I understand now the act has been enacted in 2005 that approved the housing cooperatives. But since then, there's nothing from the department that is coming up. So it means we as government, we are perpetrating the rental instead of promoting the institutions that are going to build a cohesion, that sustainability and cohesive communities. There's something wrong with us as government. Us as government, why are we perpetrating the profit makers? Because even if we are saying, because we are encouraging the social housing that they must have less, they must lower their rentals, but we are still perpetrating the profit making. Now I'm confused. I must be honest. When we get to these flats, we never get an indication that this is a social housing product, rental product. This is a cooperative product. So, and as members, we are not informed. We must be honest. We are not informed. We just go there and see how beautiful are those flats. But we are not open-minded. What kind of a development is this one? Surprisingly, we were in Eastern Cape. In October, we were in Eastern Cape. But here, we are seeing that Eastern Cape has got 11 PHP
and informal development.
Mm.
And we were never informed. We were never informed. We were in Western Cape. Where's Western Cape? In Western Cape, we do have an hostel upgrade. Nobody touched that. We do have a cooperative development. You were with us in the presentation in the province. Did you recall anything that has been mentioned about it? There's also a flat renovation. There was nothing of some good people, really. I don't know. I'm very, very disappointed because Mr. Lavand is not here. Because I wanted it, Mr. Khaba cannot be responsible for this. He cannot even respond to these issues. But this is a strong message that is taken to the department. Why are they relegating to have a policy on cooperatives? Because that is the state position. Coming to the presentation itself, I want to ask the challenge of water bills. Don't we have a challenge of the water bills in these and the insurances taxes? Because I think it might be one of the challenges that may crop up from this development. And then you have mentioned, in fact, you have touched the issue of recruitment. But I don't hear your programs being intensified to the rural, to the municipalities on the ground. Because I think it is most important that you need to have intensified awareness programs. But you have also touched that at least the demand is increasingly. And to me, I think we talk of housing markets. I don't understand why, because today we are talking of building new cities and towns. If we are trying to squeeze ourselves to one market or to certain markets and then we exclude other markets, how are we going to expand this housing market we are talking about? And I'm very worried about this perpetrating this rental, whereas we do have other options. We need to have a competition in housing market. Why are we running away from competition? Because it means we are running away from competition now. Because the issue of the cooperatives, it is there in the Social Housing Act. There is a mention, though I don't have it with me. In the Social Housing Act, there is a mention to say the cooperatives should be, I don't know whether they should fall under I don't know, but there is a mention of the cooperatives. So I don't know, cooperatives. So I think we have got a very tough responsibility we have to take as the portfolio committee. But I wanted to check, what is the difference between the sectional title? I'm not sure. There's estates, there's estate agencies. I don't have a clue, really, what is going on there. And then another thing, you have clarified the school of thought that says the low-income households cannot manage, but they are provided by the government, at least the subsidy. But if you listen to the budget by the minister, there's that banking sector that is going to be provided. How are they going to assist? I think you have to work something, or you can give us an indication. How are you going to respond as the cooperative to that proposal, in fact, that resolution that has been taken by the National Treasury. And then there's another issue of youth empowerment or employment, but I don't think that one, it may affect you. How are you going to respond to that? And then the other issue is around the issue of HDA. How do you relate with the HDA? Because it's also acquiring land for house for housing development. Is there any relationship between yourself and the HDA? I think let me stop there. We can give you all, Mr. Pula, because you wanted to say something. Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll try to respond in terms of the list of the questions that I've listed here. The first speaker wanted to know about the criteria for the membership and to say, do we make provisions for those that are unemployed? The first thing that I can mention is that in my presentation, I mentioned that there are two types of cooperatives. There's developmental cooperatives, which is mainly the PHP type of cooperatives, and then there's continuous cooperatives, which mainly you find up in the inner cities. So it's easy to accommodate those that are employed on the developmental cooperatives because of the subsidy that government brings on board. So because of that, then, even if you're unemployed, as a cooperative member, you want to become a member of cooperative, then you can contribute, you are accommodated. Because what you normally propose when you do a project, especially in a developmental cooperative, is to say that the more you are unemployed or in terms of your salary scale, the more subsidy that you need to get, so that you are in par with the rest of the members. So unemployed are also accommodated because the member said cooperative is about members also contributing towards building their own houses. If you are part of the construction team in a cooperative, you are contributing to a cooperative. So that on its own, and plus everyone top your subsidy, that qualifies you to become a member of cooperative. So yes, that's something that we normally address. It's a challenge that we overcame in our members in terms of those that are employed. Especially, again, that I can add, especially in most times in the EPHP, it's mainly about those members that are unemployed. And over and above, also the parting of skills during the construction phase of the units for members. The biggest challenge comes when we deal with the continuous cooperative, because those are inner cities where we're expecting that it is continuous payment of municipal fees, continuous payment of maintenance of the buildings and things like that. I'm going to tell this one with the question that was asked in terms of say that we say we're taking people from 15,000. Then for us, as a member of society, if you earn 15,000 rand, then we still think to a certain extent you still qualify for a subsidy individual bond. So as such, we normally, our main criteria is for those people who earn 3,005 downward. Because those for us, those are the people that we believe that say, you know, absolutely they don't have any opportunity anywhere to get individual houses or individual bonds. So that is our target market, whereby I said, combine your 1,200 for being a security guard that you get every month, probably your 300 rand every month will do something. Then how does it work? If you earn according to your salaries, for an example, you earn about 1,200, then we can allocate where you'll be able to afford, for an example, a one-bedroom unit that can more or less cost you about 300 rand a month. Unlike someone else who will be earning 3,500, we can allocate a two-bedroom unit and that we can afford maybe 700 rand a month. So that's how we try to accommodate our members at the end of the day. And this is something that is done collectively with the members and agree. Because for members in a cooperative, it's all about collective agreement. So as a member, once they're busy renovating their flat, we already know that unit 20 is your unit because you earn 1,200 and your expenses in terms of rent, you'll only be able to pay 200 rand, so we allocate you there. That's how we try to accommodate. Unfortunately, we don't take anyone who's unemployed at the initial stage, but as we go on and get unemployed during the process, then we can accommodate you, as I've already indicated that. Then we can see if we can give you a particular work to complement the time you're working as a beneficiary. But from the inception, in a continuous cooperative, because already there's a certain amount of expectation in terms of payment, and also in line with the principle of cooperative, principle number 4, that talks about member economic participation. At inception, then, we cannot take members that are unemployed. Maybe next, the department and SACA, the relationship, like I said, will begin to grow in terms of relationship, but somehow, like I said, everything just fizzled. We're in the process of beginning to start the issue of policy on housing cooperative, but again, everything stopped. This goes beyond what the chairperson indicated. The Social Housing Foundation, we were driving together with Social Housing Foundation a very strong program in terms of capacity building for cooperative members, but everything has just stopped. It fizzled. The unit that dealt with cooperative was closed. So that means even whatever that we had with Social Housing Foundation in terms of driving this, it only stopped after the pronouncement of the Social Housing Act. That's how we stopped dealing with Social Housing Foundation. No one is driving cooperative development within Social Housing Foundation. So that program has stopped. Staff members that we're working for with that particular has stopped. So there's nothing further that you can do. And the only thing that we deal with the NDOAG was the issue of the strategy with the housing cooperative strategy. That has been developed, but after that, everything again just stopped. So that's how the relationship went as far as our engagement in terms of housing cooperatives. And there was also the question of, to say, engagement with other provinces as we look at the particular steps. As SACA, we try to write, you know, to promote ourselves. I remember Limpopo and Northwest and Northern Cape, where we said that we as an organization, this is what we do. We just made presentation to the DGs, sorry, to the HODs of those particular departments, and then from there was no further engagement, even though we do have our members. Because what we did is that we said, well, where we have members on the ground, let's rather engage them moving further on, and then to try and open up even more opportunities for our members who are already there in those particular provinces. And then moving forward, then we begin to engage other provinces whereby we are still struggling to get the membership. So that's how the engagement has gone so far, and it's something that we're still busy trying to facilitate. And then the issue of the visit is very, very crucial in this instance, to visit those particular members on the ground. It also answers your question, man, to say that you go out and see practical projects on the ground. It's not a concept that is just on paper. We do have members on the ground. As I've seen it, I've shown you even on the stat, the units that are there on the ground where the members of cooperative exist and are living in. So we'll very, very much appreciate if the portfolio committee can begin to say we want, I mean, you want to go to Western Cape, chairperson, where you see Hester renovations that are housing cooperatively owned. We're very glad to link you, myself and the provincial chairperson, to go out there and see these things in practice. Also, as I said, engage with some of the members who were part of these renovations to see how they felt with the renovating, changing from single-sex hostels to a housing unit, and how they go step by step and things like that, or the informal settlement. Moving to your question, in terms of upgrade of informal settlement and the acquiring of land, first of all, we do know about the Federation. Yes, we do know about the Housing Federation and South African Homeless People's Federation, as it said. The only difference between us and them is that, as I said, as cooperative, we're becoming legal entities. So that the reason being that if we get into a contract, those contracts become binding contracts by the virtue of being a legal entity, so that we can be sued and it can be taken seriously. And moreover, is the issue of, again, we said the share certificate, whereby your unit can also become an asset and can use your unit for collateral purposes. So the difference comes in there. And we know that the SA, South African Homeless People Federation, it only exists mainly through the PHP, of which we also drive PHP. But in the city centers or in the urban areas, there isn't much activity there. So, yeah, we do know about SA Homeless People Federation. So that's the difference that we are at the moment. And then there was an issue of, in a cooperative movement, once you mentioned that here's our members living in an informal settlement, we have acquired land, and probably maybe the land that where the informal settlement is based, they need to be moved so that they're proper. Remember, because they are part and parcel of that, it will never be
you'll never get a situation whereby there's a resistance of members to move somewhere else so that they can be housing development there. Because they are a part of the process. It's not like someone else who says, I'm a service provider, you need to move, I want to build houses there. So because of that, we will never get such problems with our members. And, okay, I've already addressed that our membership, mainly we're taking members from 3,500 downward. But because of the problem that are faced by those that are earning 7,500, because even if you earn 7,000, it's very difficult to get individual bond, then we begin to accommodate them. The only disparities will be in terms of where do we allocate you in terms of the unit. Yes, we have cooperatives on the ground, and the members of a cooperative are the ones that support SACA as a structure. There's an office, it's run by the members of a cooperative as a national structure. So that in terms of recruitment, in terms of training of the members, registration, there should be an office that will cater for such members. What is very important is also to say that we also have to establish such in provinces. At the moment, everything is done, because of financial resources, done at the office of the chairperson of the province, which is more or less in his house. But, like I said, the demand is increasing. It compels us to look at an alternative to have a proper structured office at the provinces, whereby these things can be done. The issue of the agreement with Scandinavian countries, which is mainly the Norwegians and the COP, the chairpersons have it, that's the fact as it is, that the MOU that the South African government had with the Norwegian, which is mainly the Norwegian government through the Norad program, motors promote cooperatives in the country. Of which is still a dilemma, because if you try to speak to the Norwegians, they still want to know exactly what happened to their funds that they gave to cooperatives. And that on its own, like I said, it led them to be very disgruntled and to have certain reservation about housing programs in the country. If there is that particular accountability, they don't mind coming back and assisting with the programs again. And I think that's something that probably the portfolio committee to look into. There's an issue of the insurance and the municipal programs. We are at the moment trying to engage as many municipalities as possible. Like I said, in provinces where we've got our members. We feel that once we've already opened a particular door by establishing cooperatives on the ground, let's rather expand on that. It'll be easier to incorporate other provinces when they see these things in practice to say, well, hang on a second, I think this is a good model. We also like to import that in our province. Then it'll be easier to engage in other provinces as we move on. And then the section of title, Chairperson, is that it's where you buy a unit in a property. You go out and go to the bank and say, APSA, I want to buy this particular unit. So in a building, each and every unit, an individual acquire a bond individually. Challenges of sectional title, especially in the inner city, is that if I buy a particular unit and you buy a unit under me, and then there's a problem of a diesel leakage, it's my responsibility to fix it. If I don't fix it, it still affects you underneath. And then it affects someone else. And then because of that, that's one of the reasons why we are sitting with so many dilapidated buildings, especially in the inner cities. Because there's no proper control. In most cases, people buy a unit, put people in there and leave and go and stay somewhere, and these people are paying rent to him. And the issues of maintenance of the building is none of his concern. His concern is collect rental. And then what happens, this particular unit followed by another unit, ended up, the whole unit or the whole building, 80%, none of them are not paying. As a result, they owe municipality. And then one of us, municipality will never say, well, you are up to date with your bond with APSA. For me as municipality, you don't pay, the whole building owes. As a result, I evict everyone. Whether you're paying or not paying, I evict everyone. I give someone to someone else to say, I properly manage this building and I'll pay you as municipality. And that is something that we felt to be very much unfair. Because some of the members are very committed. At the end of the day, municipality evicts everyone out of the house, but you, because you took the bond with APSA, you still are liable to pay that particular bond for the time period. So that on its own, that's where we found that, you know, the issue of sectional title becomes increasingly difficult, especially in inner cities. Let's look at the alternative. And the alternative in this particular regard, it was the issue to say then, the issue of let the entire building be owned by a cooperative, let people, none of members of the cooperative be the one who are responsible collectively to own this and put the rules, set the rules there of how this thing will be governed as a cooperative. And then we also sit in the board of the estate of the Property Charter Council. whereby because here we talk about property ownership by the general members, then the issue of the management, of the maintenance and things like that are also part and parcel of that. And realistically being that, if you look, majority of the property is still in the hands of the white community. And as a result, now through cooperatives, we begin to see more and more other races coming involved, collectively being property owners in a city. That goes beyond that, whereby we like to see cooperatives developing estates. For those who are owning maybe 15,000 cannot afford individual bonds, they come together, build big estates that we cooperatively own and cooperative governed. So that is our role that we're busy advocating for within the Property Charter Council, to look at the issue of transformation of that particular sector. And then you mentioned the issue of the NDOH and the partnership with the banking sector. Once that has been like you have a rescheduled, we'll investigate it and we'll send out our inputs to say how will this particular partnership benefit us as cooperatives in this regard. We appreciate that opportunity, Chairperson. Our youth, like I mentioned, the EPWP, most of these people, these youth who are made matric and there's no opportunity of employment, we take them through the PHP so that they can go and learn to be, like I said, plumbing, maintenance, electrician, all the like, so that they will be responsible for maintaining these particular properties that they live in. It's very important that this particular youth are the ones who get that opportunity. Our members, who are also the youth in this particular sector, are the ones who benefit. Because we also remember, principle number 6 talks about consent for community. If you look at the presentation, it is also the responsibility of the cooperative to create employment for their own members. That includes the youth. That's why we have partnered with a couple of training institutions to train this particular youth through EPWP programs to train this particular youth so that they'll be responsible for that. We don't need to employ a company outside to come and fix a bulb in one of the members or to look at issues of electricity, bridging and things like that. We use our own members in this regard. So that on its own, it was mentioned on the presentation, that's how we begin to empower our members, in particular in our youth. Our relationship with the Housing Development Agency, at the moment, probably I can say maybe there isn't much of a relationship. Because not long ago, in another sector where I sit as a convener of community constituents in NEDLEC, where HDA was requested to come and make presentation on his involvement. I remember the presenter there indicated that at the moment they don't see any cooperatives playing any role in their agency, and that angered those that were present, especially the community constituency there. And there was a particular task that was given to HDA to come back and respond on those by NEDLEC, and that hasn't happened. We're still waiting. So, in a nutshell, Chairperson, I think I've tried to cover all the questions around you. Thanks.
Your responses have provoked the emotions of the members. I could see that. Honorable Khatsibone? Okay. Honorable Bula, and then Honorable Pomen.
Chairperson, I didn't quite get clarity on the issue of challenges on the scarcity of land.
In terms of the 2006 legislation, then you've reported that you have subsequently fizzled out. Is it because of the 2006 legislation that profoundly talks about cooperatives, you are now getting your house in order? I need to understand a few aspects of what you have, some very sensitive aspects which you elaborated on and it can open up a can of worms with other legislation and other structures. So I think in terms of the HDA, which gets a complete funding from National, and to hear that they're not playing their role actively is of great concern. There must be distinction and clarity in terms of your involvement and synchronization for the HDA to make land available in order for you to accomplish your PHP processes. The issue about informal settlements has always been a burning issue. And in view of what you are saying, you are making a lot of reference in passing. We need you to tell us what is your concrete involvement in addressing the hardship of homes to deliver for our informal settlements. What is your challenges around no willing, no buyer, but willing buyer, willing seller, which is very crucial. If you look in some municipalities, people are living in informal settlements for the past 15 years. And there is a deliberate obstacle in terms of not acquiring land. Have you had any experiences in terms of expropriating land in order to deliver on what you so profoundly talk about, people's housing process? The other issue you referred to was, Chairperson, I don't know whether you want me to stop, but...
No, I don't want to.
The other issue you referred to is about cooperatives. And you quite correctly pointed out that this has been dominated by the white market. Now, I find it rather strange. You say you are the mother body to control the kind of cooperatives. What is your plan in terms of infiltrating, what you call it, the continuous cooperatives? I find it strange how you say you control the beneficiaries without the involvement of the local municipalities. I would understand that the local municipality would have to engage you as a cooperative for your management services. You made reference to, and I'm not going to elaborate because I think the chairperson has touched on the issue of the announcement of the State of the Nation by the Honorable President and subsequently by the Minister of Finance in terms of the subsidy for those who are earning below the subsidized amount. You need to give us distinct clarity as to how that money is going to filter into the process and you could ultimately achieve your goal in assisting these people who don't qualify for bonds. There is something that is called the Enhanced Extended Discount Benefit Scheme, which was passed by government in 2004. If you look at the sectional title, and if you look at the subsidies that is received by the Enhanced Extended Discount Benefit Scheme, you touched on issue of huge areas, and people cannot acquire transfer because of the amounts outstanding. Have you looked into the Enhanced Extended Discount Benefit Scheme that makes provisions for a debt to be registered and transfer takes place while the beneficiary will pay the debt if he or she has to dispose of that property? I find this conflicting. Jefferson, I want to leave it there for now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Honorable Minister. Yes, I hear the reference
to the Act of 2006. However, I see here we have a Cooperatives Act of 1981, so I don't know if there's something different that we are referring to. But I just want to have a follow-up to understand the cooperative concept as opposed to the sectional title and the management of that. I understand the sectional title whereby, because in both instances, you are going to own. You pay for your unit in sectional title, and you pay for what you're going to get, you know, your share of the cooperative as well in that development, that unit. Now, you talk about if there is a problem with some of the units that the municipality can come and evict, you know, if there's non-payment. Now, usually the way that works is there's a body corporate that manages that and the maintenance and all of that in your sectional title. Now, I understand what you're saying, that with the cooperatives, they will be part of that, and because they own it, they will want to maintain it and look after it. Now, what is the difference between these two when you get to that nitty-gritty part of it? Because, you know, would you still have the will in the cooperative? I'm just trying to see, you know, whether this could also just be neglected as the cooperative, because both of them you own. You own your unit. You've got ownership in there. But your body corporate, you pay a levy in for them to look after. And now with the new Properties Act, you actually have got a Property Rates Act. You've got to pay your own rates. Okay? So I just want to know what would be the difference between those two. Perhaps, yeah, you wouldn't have a body corporate. I don't know how that would, you still got to have some sort of a thing. Okay, thank you.
Mine is just a simple one. I want to understand who has the responsibility to, or the accountability to monitor these MOUs. Because if the Scandinavian countries are holding us as the country ransom on the issue of their funds that are unaccountable and that are not accountable by someone, who is supposed to do that? So what is it necessary for the country for not continuing? Because seemingly we took a shortcut here. We took a shortcut. If we listen to the presentation carefully, these bodies were together. And I know, I've been to the Scandinavians. I'm from Norway. I'm from Amsterdam. I know this program. I was asking Gabon deliberately. Because these programs, they are combined. Now, seemingly, what we did as government, we took a shortcut because this one is giving us a lot of challenges. And as government, we have not to be shy. If we have challenges, we have to face challenges as they are. Because now, we promoted social housing, and even went to the extent we have a legislation. And the same legislation is quoting some aspects of cooperatives. I was listening to Honorable Bula there. This thing is very sensitive. It can have an implication on the other legislation. So but we need to look at it. That is why I was saying I'm very disappointed if the department, because the department knew that we were going to be here. The DG should have sent someone else, a senior member in the department. But we'll look at that. Because if the foreign countries, the international countries, are complaining about South Africa if we are irresponsible, that thing is not a stigma to the cooperatives only, cooperative sector. It is a stigma to the government per se. So which requires us, as this portfolio committee, to look at this seriously. But I wanted to check who is responsible for monitoring the external funding that comes to the country, so that we can check that person. Why is he not doing his responsibility? Because the cooperative is what this government is promoting. I'm pretty sure about that one. But what we need to see, because there's no way that we are saying they are not feasible. But what we are saying, what are the ingredients that can make them more successfully? The key question is not that they are they feasible. They are feasible. But what can be done more to ensure that they are promoted?
Thanks a lot, Chairperson, again for this opportunity. The issue of land scarcity, we know it's a challenge everywhere. And linking it to some of the suggestions from Mr. Bula, the issue of expropriation of the land and the issue of willing buyer, willing seller, is some of the things that we're looking into, and we're very much elated by the formation of the HTA, specifically looking at the issue of the land availability. And we thought that probably that will assist us as cooperatives. Looking at some of the projects from our members, for example, we've got a membership of about 1,000 members in Orange Farm who wants, is a cooperative. What is left is for them to get to acquire land. And we've recorded that particular land. What is important is just to raise funds to acquire the land so that we can begin with the issue of building their particular units. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is that I think last year there was a national task team that was tasked with the issue of EPWP. We call it the EPHP, of which we divided different roles, and there was a particular role within the task team that was also tasked with the issue of making sure that there's land available. So that as a task team, then, when we've got a project, we've got the members, I said, in KZN, in this particular place, we've got a membership of about 300 members, and they're looking at the issue of the land. Because the something that I picked up is that in most cases, especially with the housing cooperatives, that when members come to us and say we want to start a project, in most of the time they already have land in mind where this thing can take place. That's something that we figured up in most cases. And sometimes it also puzzles us to say, how come the province does not know about this particular land availability or municipality, whereas the members know about this? So what is important, again, is to assist in terms of acquiring that particular land. Because they are the members, they are very closer to the ground, and as a result, for them, they know exactly where this particular project will take place. So that is also very important, again, here to rope in the municipalities as well as Bula has indicated, to ensure that for the members, here's a piece of land, we can build so many units, bring the technical space for other issues of environmental assessment impact and things like that. That's where we need those particular professionals from the province to assist us with that regard. Also to indicate whether the land is feasible for housing construction or not. So that's something that we know in most cases it normally happens. And then looking at the other question of the Act of 2006, that's for correction. Answering your question is that previously we used to have the Cooperative Act of 1981.
As you know, that historically we used to have cooperatives in the country since 1930s, of which there was serious law hugely supported by the government of that time. So looking at that is that the Act of 1981, it was mainly supporting agricultural cooperatives. It didn't look at other aspects of cooperatives that existed in the country. And then after 1984, with interaction from other countries, like we've seen in particular instance, the housing cooperative, banking cooperatives, insurance cooperatives, and the like, then we realized that, hang on a second, it's not only agricultural cooperatives that exist in the country. There are other forms of cooperatives that are there. Hence, there was a need to upgrade or amend the Act of 1981. And that was done up until we have the 2005 Act, of which, again, there's a process of amending the 2005 Act so that we can look at other aspects of types of cooperatives. So,
you say the 1981 was upgraded in
2005 to become the 2005 Act,
and
yes.
In 2005,
we are at the moment, DTI is busy with amending the Act of 2005. So it's a process that we're busy with at the moment, at the level where I am as the president of Mkasa, which is like consortium of all cooperatives now, yes. Right. Like I said, on this issue of HDA, this is one of the reasons why we had to engage HDA, with Housing Development, to assist us in terms of land availability, looking at the fact that the task team that was developed by NDOH to look at this particular, it never set after some time. So we're still waiting to see if that particular task team is still going to continue, but it was mainly on the aspects of EPHP in this regard. Yes. It's called the National Task Team. Yeah, the National Task Team on EPHP.
On EPHP?
Yes.
When was the
last meeting that we had, I think it was last year in July or August. Then from there, we never had another meeting again. So things like the issue of land availability, community mobilization, development of documentation or manual documentation for capacity building, all those things, the finance, the raising of finances for projects, all that was the role of that particular task team. And then the issue of the property market being dominated by the white community, as I've indicated, is that through the Property Charter Council, that's where the transformation, we are trying to transform this particular sector so that we begin to see more and more races moving in this particular sector and playing an active role so that we can begin to see more other nations other than the white community being responsible for development of shopping malls, building shopping big estate, residential estates and things like that. So that's where our engagement at SACA is at the moment through NEDLAC, to ensure that there is more involvement of other races in this particular sector. And there's also the need for continuous involvement of municipalities. What we normally do is that, especially because we're moving into the new year, we normally request our members to attend different IDPs of municipalities so that when those are developed, then our members will begin to say, hang on a second, but there's a housing cooperative. How much project do you involve? Do you want to develop two or three projects in your IDP for this financial year? That's the engagement that we're trying to do at the moment. And then the difference between sectional title and cooperatives in terms of ownership is that, like I said, in a sectional title, you owned your unit. In a cooperative, the entire building is owned by the members, and the unit is owned by members by the virtue of having share in that particular unit. So cooperatives are share-driven. So that's why I said, if you leave your unit as a cooperative member, you take a share certificate, take it back to the cooperative, and get an exit payment in return. And like I said, again, in terms of, that's why even the policies or governing policies or regulatory policies, we have the Sectional Title Act and also the Cooperative Act. Because the difference and the problem that we have in terms of that is the control. In a sectional title, you have a deal with your bank, and yes, there's a body corporate that is there to oversee the management. And the problem that we engage in terms of our research is that a person will go out to the bank, get a bond with a particular bank for this particular unit. And all of a sudden, then there's a dispute that comes on board when the body corporate says, hang on a second, but you still have to pay for the service of the lift, the cleaning company, security says, hang on a second, but I'm paying the bank. These other rates are never allocated for that. And that is one of the biggest problems that exists, especially in the inner cities. But for those who understand sectional title, which is mainly outside the inner cities, sectional titles are working very well. And in most cases, what they relate, they work very well, especially in the townhouse type of housing, which is the medium density. But in the high rise in the inner cities is a problem. Because I said, most of them are mainly profit-driven. You go out there, get a unit, put people in there, you don't even explain the rules to say, these are the rules of the engagement here. You just put people to leave. And then when issues of maintenance of the leave and things like that happen, there's no one taking care of that. Why over and above that, the over-changing and gradual changes of the management, and it ended up being now the whole grumbling and fighting over who's control, finance, and things like that. At the end of the day, we're sitting with a huge problem of dilapidated buildings that are happening right now in the inner cities. So that is a problem that we're encountering. And the difference with cooperatives is that the cooperative, yes, there's a board of directors that's elected by the members collectively to make sure that there's a professional company that is there to make sure that there's proper collection and to ensure that there's proper maintenance. And in terms of accountability, there's something that's very interesting, is that come month end, there's a statement that will be circulated among the members to know who has paid, who hasn't paid. In a typical Stockfell type of an environment, if you set up a financial Stockfell and every month you agree to pay 200 rand, we know obviously come month end, we have to contribute 200, and if you're not going to contribute 200, we'll know that you haven't contributed. And the members take decision on that, say, what do we do? And then they delegate the board to go out and try to find counseling, you know, some of the things that need proper counseling. Sit down with a breadwinner and say, what is wrong? What is the problem? That's only when the board will be able to establish whether the breadwinner is no longer working, because those are some things that you cannot pronounce in front of everybody. So that's why the issue of capacity building for the board of directors to also be the counselors to deal with this particular issue. Hence principle number 6 of community concern for the board of directors. Yeah, and I've already mentioned that the Act of 1981, and now it's the Act of 2005. And the chapters in terms of monitoring of the MOU, probably I think that is the role of government in this regard. Yes, thanks. That sorry, I forgot, I must mention that. That one, we know there's something like that exists. But what is important is then how do you begin to explore it with the existing municipalities? Probably now that you mentioned it, it will be an assignment for us because I think next week we're having a meeting with the Joburg Metro around the demand for more and more, because now the issue of housing cooperatives is becoming more and more gradual, that it has pushed the municipality to request a meeting with us. Now that you mentioned something like this, I think we'll have to raise it and probably explore it further. We know just a little about it, but not to understand. Thanks.
Okay, just one follow-up. I think Honorable Mama raised a very important point on the issue of body corporate and sectional titles. I would assume that you would go and revisit the aspect of body corporate and sectional title. Let me, Chairperson, I was doing some oversight work in KwaZulu-Natal, and I was confronted with these challenges from communities that pre-1994, government wanted to dispose of the rental stock. And that's when the enhanced extended discount benefit came in to bring relief. Now, Itegweni municipality has followed that pursuit of the enhanced extended discount benefit scheme. But you've mentioned about your challenges in terms of those acquiring a bond, etc. If you look at the current subsidy structure of government, there are some of these rental stocks and units that is fully covered by a government subsidy. But the challenges are, as mentioned by the Honourable Member, are the area rentals, where Itegweni has followed a pursuit to transfer this rental stock and register the debt on the deed. So I am very skeptical about what you present in, what is attainable, and what you would ultimately achieve. So I think it's very important, Chairperson, in terms of your notion that the department has to be here to absorb and hear what the presentation is talking to in order for it to be materialized. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, now that you're mentioning it, I think in some of our meetings that we had an opportunity to interact with some of them, especially I think the manager and housing of Itiwini, and what you are raising now. Yeah, that if you realize it was mainly the disposal of the rental stock. And there is, again, a little mention of cooperatives in this regard. Because then if there was mention of cooperatives as the organization, then we'll say then, let us present our position in this regard to say then, infusing in the cooperatives. Yes. Yes. So, fusing the cooperative, then this will be our position in this regard. Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity, ma'am. Mine is to ensure that the concerns of the committee with regard to issues that were raised here will be conveyed to the department, particularly to the acting director general. Yes. I think it will be proper also for the department to come and answer these questions that were raised here and the concerns that were raised at this meeting, or at a future meeting that to be arranged. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I think that was a very, very fruitful meeting we have ever had. We normally have fruitful meetings, but this one was creating a lot of questions, and we really wanted to get the info, because why I'm stressing this, because we have committed ourselves as the portfolio committee to promote these cooperatives, and I'm very happy that the DTI is busy with that. I think as the portfolio committee, we have to meet with the DTI portfolio committee and find out what are the issues there, and I believe that you are also part of that from the side of the department. You are participating on that. So it means this institution has been participating for quite a long time, but it just disappears. So we need answers from the department. And I think the issue of HDA, that they responded irresponsible to NEDLAC. But we'll see a way of meeting with the minister in terms of this one. And then the last one, I think we have to call a department to give us a strategy. Because in our planning session, as we have got, we will have to implement our strategy as the portfolio committee. I think this one has to come up strongly from our planning session for this year. We need to see these cooperatives coming up. And the visit, well, in Cape Town, I think the easy one will be the Cape Town, if we can visit this before our planning meeting. As this portfolio committee, we're not lazy. Even on Fridays, we worked, you know, we don't have a problem. The members of the human settlements are very active. They don't complain. They just give me a name, but they comply. Just give me a name, and then they comply. So I think we need to visit this place so that in our strategy in our planning session for this year, this program, the project must also appear. So we need the name in Cape Town. and then we will continue to engage with the South African Housing Cooperation Association. We'll continue with the engagement. And the next time you'll find this house full in its capacity, you'll get bombarded. But fortunately, the members today have prepared you for the next coming meeting. Then when we call you now, we'll be fully prepared to say, no, this time, no, I wasn't designed. With those few comments, I wish to declare the meeting closed, the meeting adjourned. Thanks. Kundo. Aba. No, no, no.
Thank you.